Can't even talk.
Yeah, I mean,
you wouldn't out of your system now.
He wouldn't be chewing. He wouldn't be chewing. You wouldn't be chewing gum, would you?
Not now.
All right, good. Now, I listened to the show last week. Actually, there wasn't a show last week, as you correctly pointed out through your powers of observation.
Or paid attention.
Yeah, there was no show last week.
Right.
I listened to the show last week, and it was clear that I talked too much, and you talked too little, and you giggled too much. So we need to mix it up this week.
Okay.
All right, I won't giggle at all.
And Sean talked too slow. So I talked too much, Sean talked too slow. You didn't talk enough, and you just kept giggling.
So okay, so wait. What's wrong with giggling?
We need to do other...
Wait, what's wrong? Is that
we
gay?
We just need to shake it
I
up.
I think we just need to shake
up
it up.
The balance.
All right, you do the giggling. All the
I
giggling.
I always do the giggling, but...
Well,
no,
I do too much because I enjoy this? All right, I won't do it at all.
No.
Watch how dead the show is.
Uh-huh.
Well, let's start the show, shall we? Thank you.
This is the Schnauzer Logic Radio Company.
And this is Schnauzer Logic. It is episode number 53, and it's being recorded on Wednesday. It's the 2nd of May, 2007.
Groundbreaking, critically acclaimed, smash hits, HBO original series. And now, the HBO original series.
Schnauzer Logic.
Walking home after a girl's night out, two women pass a graveyard and stop to pee. The first woman has nothing to wipe with, so she uses her underwear and tosses it. Her friend, however, finds a ribbon on a wreath, so she uses that. The next day, the first woman's husband passes the second woman... I can't read this. Wait. Phones the second woman's husband. Show prep. It's all about show prep. The next day, the first... Wait a second. I'll come in again. Walking home... I can't do it now. You have a joke? Yeah.
You know this joke?
You know this joke?
Yeah.
Oh, you know this joke. Oh, perfect. All right. Great.
By the way, you said...
Oh, good
you said,
Lord.
You yeah, said show the, you oh. said show 53. I think it's 52. Side.
No, it's not. It was 53. You missed 52.
Okay. We all missed 52, apparently.
Last week?
Yeah. That was 52?
No, that was nothing. The week before?
That was 52.
52.
I was here.
No, Mort Saul was 51.
Oh, that's right.
The week that you were not here was 52.
That's right.
The week that none of us was here was...
Last week.
And then this is...
53.
I think you have to read it because I can read it, but I need like... It's too hard to read.
Here, I'll read it. I got good eyes.
Okay.
Walking home after a girl's night out, two women pass a graveyard and stop to pee. The first woman has nothing to wipe with, so she uses her underwear and tosses it. Her friend, however, finds a ribbon on a wreath, so she uses that. The next day, the first woman's husband phones the second woman's husband, furious. My wife came home last night without her panties. I'm Brian Cox. That's nothing, says the other. Mine came back with a card stuck between her butt cheeks that said, from all of us at the fire station, we'll never forget you.
Clinton, liberals, dittos.
I'm Dr. Mora, and I'm my poodle's mother.
Today on All Things Considered to Death, Moss.
Yeah, baby, show me your...
Son of Easton, my friends. Son of Easton, my friends. Okay, Sherry. Can okay, I?
This is my show, and I do that. Now, when you mock me every week with this...
I don't mock you every week!
First of all, you've started taking over little bits and pieces of the show elements.
Is that true, Sherry?
Yeah. Started with the introduction, buddy. Yeah. I mean, come on,
yeah,
dude.
And now...
And then you
interrupt.
I want you to read this.
What does that say? All right. I just took us off the tracks. I feel like a train in China.
Clinton, liberals, dittos.
I'm Dr. Mora, and I'm my poodle's mother.
Today on All Things Considered to Death, Moss.
Yeah, baby, show me your...
I was supposed to talk more. Sona Vista, my friends, and welcome. Oh.
Wow. Somebody's, Somebody's pissed. Somebody's pissed. There's three of us here. It's not working out today. I didn't say a word. I had my eyes shut.
Okay. You're married.
Yeah.
You have children and dogs. I live alone. I have no fucking life. I get up in the morning. I don't even masturbate anymore. Since the brain surgery, there's none of that going on. So I got no pleasure. I eat a low-fat, low-calorie, high-fiber diet, so I'm angry and constipated all the fucking time, okay? Then I go to work at a job that I kind of love and make very, very little fucking money.
What?
And have people yelling at me who make a lot more money than I do all day long.
And that's wrong.
I then get back in my car and I drive home. I'm really tired. I'm really sore. I can't get my doctors to pay attention to me. I sit in a chair that I pay too much money for that's not really comfortable, that's making my neck hurt. And I eat more high protein, high fiber, low taste food. And now I'm really constipated.
Oh.
I watch the Giants. They lose. I then go to bed and get up in the morning and do the same thing again. I do this every single day of the week, looking forward for Wednesday when I can say what I say at the beginning of the show. You saunter in here in all your bald gloriness and Parviz too, and you just kind of come on in, throw down your keys, have something to eat, have something to drink. You walk out of the backyard to sniff the flowers. You know, it's just like, la-di-da, can I have a cognac? Oh, sure. Sure, fine. Well, I need the 50-year stuff. Not a problem. I got it for you. We do all of this shit so that I can then start the show and do what I've been doing now for almost 8 years. Little by little, you're taking over.
That's not
little
true.
Little by little, you're taking...
That is not true.
You're taking this away from me.
Not at all. Not at all.
Little by little.
No.
I look forward to... This is my...
I look at you like Superman.
This is
you're
my
signature.
You're
in a wheelchair, and I'm just helping you along.
Wait, supposing... What?
Let's start the show all over again.
I apologize for jumping in.
Oh, Sherry, quit being such a kiss ass.
Cinevista, my friends. Cinevista, and welcome. You have managed it. No, I don't like the way I did that.
Oh, come on.
No, no,
it sounded great. It sounded great. Keep going.
I didn't have the sincerity.
All right, try it again.
All right, how do I do it?
Cinevista, my friends. Cinevista, my friends.
That's it.
Goes low, then high, and then swoops in the end like you got a pizza in your hand.
Oh. Is that what it
is? Cinevista, my friends. Cinevista, my friends. Like you just twirled the pepperoni.
I beg your pardon.
You've never twirled a pepperoni.
Cinevista, my friends. I have it.
Cinevista, my friends. Cinevista, my friends.
I've forgotten what I say after that.
You have tuned in, latched on, otherwise, cloned, stream of consciousness, called.
Consciousness?
I don't know.
Consciousness.
Son of East, my friends. Son of East, and welcome. You have managed to tune in, latch on, and otherwise download that stream of bits known around the world as Everyone Together, Schnauzer Logic. Yes, this is Schnauzer Logic. It is episode number 53, and it's being recorded on Wednesday. It's the 2nd of May, 2007, and my name is Robin Goldstein. I'm your host. I'm your buddy. I'm your pal. I'm also a straight white Buddhist vegetarian lesbian fraternity boy trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual woman, patent attorney with a bizarre sense of humor and a master's degree in city planning, and I'm thrilled and delighted to have each and every want to be here for another great show. We got a great show for you today. We're going to be getting caught up on what happened in the last few weeks. We've also missed having a chance to talk to our good friend Parviz. You've passed your 1-year anniversary on the job.
It's a lot of things to talk about. Yes,
we got a lot of things to talk about with you.
Yes, wow. Job wise,
a lot of things to talk about with you.
Always.
Lots of stuff going on in my particular life. We got a little treat for those of you on the last show who listened to the Mr. Kaslow obituary. Apparently there is another titan of smoked fish in New York who has shuffled off this mortal coil. We've got another obituary for another smoked fish titan. I smell theme show. Plus stuff and nonsense. Sean's going to be joining us on the phone. Jason's going to be joining us on the phone. My good friend Peter Alfrichtig, who's going to be Eliza's dad, is going to be joining us on the phone. So we got all kinds of stuff going on.
Eliza from L.A.?
Eliza from Harvard.
Oh, the one that... Okay.
The one that what?
Vacuums while we talk to her? Is that the one? Is that Eliza? The one that has a guest?
Do you remember her ever remember. Vacuuming while she talked to us?
Or did she have a guest? Or like a guest in her house while we called her one time?
Oh, actually, you might be right.
She might have.
Yeah.
She might have had a roommate or somebody in the dorm. I didn't apologize.
Oh, I get accused of taking over a show, but as soon as I have a thought. Mm. Interesting.
You have any more questions for Mort Salt?
Yeah. How does he get all that salt in the blue container? You think he's listening right now?
Let's say son of beast to the part of beast vitale.
Son of beast to my friends. Son of beast to my friends.
Twirl that pepperoni, baby. Twirl it.
And the son of Vista to Sherry Stevens.
Son of Vista.
How are you?
I'm hanging in.
Good to see you.
It's great to see
Everyone's in a better mood this week?
Yeah. It's a better week this week.
Is it?
Yeah.
All right. It's May.
It was a nice, cold, blistery day today.
Blistery?
Yeah.
My birthday is in this month.
No.
It is?
You mean blustery.
No, I mean blistery.
Okay, poo.
Oh, Dopey. What's the donkey's name?
Dopey?
Is it Dopey?
No.
The donkey's name in Winnie the Pooh. What's the donkey?
Eeyore.
Oh, Eeyore. Is that Winnie the Pooh's voice right there?
Oh, Eeyore.
Doesn't it feel warm in your ears? Listen to this.
Oh, Eeyore.
It's Eeyore.
Oh, Eeyore.
Oh, we're just going to run through these really quickly.
Stroke or unload.
Kiss my ass!
Oh, networking-y.
English, motherfucker!
Stop laughing. It's not funny.
Hey. I'm Brian Cox.
All right. We just needed to get that shit out of the way because I'm pretty much exhausted at this point. You know, I'm looking at a thing here that says the Parviz Show, and I realize that should just be number one from now on.
What happened to my show?
They didn't tell you?
Yeah. No. Actually, I never heard.
We got a note from the network. Your show was canceled.
Wow.
Yeah.
How many episodes did I have?
I had 4 episodes.
Wow.
And they said it lacked cohesiveness.
There was you were only present for 3 of them, or 2, or 1 of them.
None of them.
None. Actually, wasn't available for any of them.
It was a great idea, just never surfaced.
Yeah.
In my mind. Yeah. Hmm. So how was your week?
Week was good.
You had a good week.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
Not bad, huh?
Wasn't bad.
Too freaking hot over the weekend, wasn't it?
Saturday was hot.
Yeah. Supposed to be hot again on Saturday.
That's great radio.
Awesome.
Time right now, 13-minute past the big hour of 5 o'clock right here. It's now the Central Robin Goldstein giving you the time and temperature every 3 minutes on the minute.
That's what I never understood. You got stations that give you the weather and the traffic. Traffic, I understand, because that's possible. It could be important. Truly, the weather changed in 10 minutes? Is that insane? And why do we need to know the weather every 10 freaking minutes? Is that stupid?
Well, but you know why they do it.
No, tell me.
Because people don't listen to the radio for more than 10 or 15
minutes.
Okay,
but why do you need to know the weather? What difference does it make? If you're in the car and you're not using your wipers, it's a sunny day. If you're in your house and it's raining, you're indoors. Why do you need to know the weather? Well, honestly.
You're getting ready to go on the road and do stand-up again, aren't you?
No, I'm not.
I can tell you.
No, no. You told me specifically
you're
right before.
Material
what did you tell me before the show? I'm tired of you being fun. Snap it up.
I don't think I said anything of the
kind. Yes. You said your kind of people should not be funny. Remember? Just run your buses into buildings.
I know you're looking at me and you're expecting me to nod, but I don't remember.
It's the second time.
This.
What happened in Virginia Tech? Can we talk about that?
No.
No.
No. Whoa, no. Whoa, it just caused all kinds of complaints.
Whoa.
No.
Whoa. All right. Okay. All right. What about that thing that blew up on the freeway?
If you want to comment on mass murders, you have to be here when they happen.
Okay. What about the tanker truck that blew up here in the Bay Area?
Wouldn't you rather just talk about weather every 10 minutes? Wow. Wow. You are so easy.
American Idol?
You know, I've stopped watching it.
It is
well, now that Sanjaya is gone, there's
now that Sanjaya is gone, yeah.
There's no entertainment there.
I've stopped watching it completely.
Yeah, it's kind of a slow season.
Yeah. Come on. Come on. Keep it coming.
Spider-Man 3.
Okay.
Very, very exciting.
Is it?
Oh, it's going to be great.
You've seen
it. You think?
Yeah. No, I haven't seen it, but but they're throwing in a black Spider-Man. Why is that funny?
I don't think they're actually throwing in a black Spider-Man.
Yeah. No. It's Spider-Brother. No?
No.
Spidey Brother?
Spider-Bro? Spider-Bro.
Wow.
It's not like that?
Wow.
Yo, motherfucker, here's my web.
That's,
no?
Yeah, it's borderline racist.
We'll edit that part out.
I don't think so.
No.
I think we'll just keep repeating it over and over again.
sent all letters to Robin Goldstein. All right.
You know okay. what Barbara Walters said had to say about that.
Now, where did this come from? Where did this come from?
When is a good fairy going to take off my penis?
When is a good fairy going to take off my
this
penis?
This would be a great mix.
Mm-hmm. When is a good fairy going to take off my penis? And the bathing suit did not show a bulge?
Yeah, it did.
But that didn't matter? The penis removed.
Come on, you're the singer. The penis removed. Come on, Bernice.
Take off my penis. When is a good fairy going to take off my penis? The penis removed. The penis removed. The penis removed. The penis removed.
Yeah.
I like
that's
it.
Actually pretty good. That's actually pretty good. That's actually pretty good. That's that sounds like a very, very...
I got mad skills, boy.
Yeah, that was a very, very racist thing to do. Nice.
Racist?
No.
No?
No. Oh, my Spidey thing was out of line.
Yes, because you...
You said...
Stop that. Because you talked about... You were...
I said Spidey, bro.
Oh, I'm getting bored. Let's just move on.
Okay, fine.
Oh. Sherry's getting bored.
Me too.
Wow.
Me too. You got nothing? You told me there was tons of stuff to talk about.
I do.
And you're talking about the weather. I give you 30 seconds. I won't interrupt you. Go.
Okay, my work. Let me tell you about my work. It's been 1 year later at my work, and I have catapulted myself to Super Plumber.
Super Plumber.
My crack has grown so much in the last year.
I noticed something different about you.
Yes. There's a sprout going out to all the plumbers in the world.
And what is that card sticking out your ass? That says, from all the...
from all the plumbers all in the world. It's all good. Hey, Barbara, what do you got to say about this?
Should we start the show again?
No, absolutely not.
I don't
not.
Think this is working.
This is fine.
No,
this is
no,
fine.
No, because we have people that they listen and they get bored.
Wait, you're bored.
Yes.
I'm no. bored.
Yes, we're both bored.
I'm not even bored.
All right, let's just move on. Let's kick it up a notch. Let's take it on to the next subject. What do we
all
got?
Right, we're out of here. We'll take a break. We'll play some tunes. We'll play some tunes. It's not good.
What do you, what's not good?
It's not
this
good.
Is all good.
It's all bad. No, it's all good.
It's all good. You know what, Robin? It's good.
Yeah?
Why do you look at me when you want to say bad?
I can't look at her.
I'll
turn
to
salt. I'll turn to salt.
Oh.
No, wait. That's not right. See, I told you.
What did I do to deserve this turning to salt? What did Rebecca do? What was it? Who? Anyway, we'll look that up.
Lot's wife.
Lot's wife. Rebecca. She looked. She turned and looked.
She did.
And she turned to salt.
Do your people turn to...
We turn to sand.
That's a good place to stop.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll play some tunes. We'll be back on the other side. We'll gather our strength. You're listening to Schnauzer Logic.
Plenty of strength.
Robin Goldstein, Sean Meehan, Cher Stevens, Parviz Vitali, John DeCoven, Eliza Alfrichtig, and Sonny Fox.
And Brian Cox.
Stick around.
I want to know why you like to dress up like a girl sometimes.
This is Schnauzer Logic.
This is how it works. It feels a little worse. Through that screaming crowd while laughing up a storm until we were just bone, until it got so warm that none of us could sleep, and all the styrofoam began to melt away. We tried to DJ was asleep. Pum pa pum pa pum. This is how it works. You're young until you're not. You love until you don't. You try until you can. Inside yourself, you take the things you like, then try to love the things you took, and then you take that love you made and stick it into someone else's heart, pump in someone else's blood, and walk in arm in arm. You hope it don't get harmed, but even if it does, you just do it all again. And on the radio, you'll hear November rain. That solo's awful long, but it's a good refrain. You'll listen to it twice, 'cause the DJ is asleep. On the radio, on the radio, on the radio, uh-oh. On the radio, uh-oh. On the radio, uh-oh. On the radio.
That in every way, this new radio series offers an unusual opportunity to combine broad popular appeal with truly distinguished radio treatment.
Oh, and this one time, at band camp, I stuck a flute in my pussy.
Crystal!
Hello?
This is Schnauzer Logic.
Welcome back. We're 23 minutes into this episode of Schnauzer Logic. Robin Goldstein, host, buddy, and pal, www.schnauzerlogic.com. Robin at schnauzerlogic.com. We've also got a phone number. It's area code 406-666-6540. We're over on myspace.com/schnauzerlogic. We've been getting some... we got a really, really nice compliment this week from Kev, who is located in the Isle of Man in the UK. He's over on MySpace.com, and he said that he thought that this was, prior to this particular episode, the best podcast in the world and possibly beyond. Weird, wacky, hilarious, serious, revealing, uplifting, shocking, unbelievable, addictive, vindictive, stupid, cute reality show with a lovable cast of characters, and I love it. Sod music, talk is king.
Cool.
Well, thank you, Kev. We really appreciate that. Also, I haven't done this in a few weeks, but actually for longer than that. But, you know, the show, in addition to being streamed as a podcast on the Apple iTunes Music Store and at the schnauzerlogic.com, are part of the Trans-FM network. So we get picked up as part of the rotating schedule of programs. And we're now going to be picked up by another group of folks. We got an email from Joanne Lynn of KWKJCEGLBT Radio. And she's going to be putting Schnauzer Logic into the WKJCETLGB radio stream.
That's great.
So that's great. So thank you to Joanne. Joanne Lynn did that for us. So that's very nice.
Where does she hail from?
I don't.
The Isle of Woman.
I don't know. Yes. Nicely put. I have no idea.
And is, you know, I'm not familiar with the Isle of Man.
It's a horrible place.
Is that a plane?
Yeah, Jason's around. Here he is in the door.
All right, hold on a second here. Let me see if this is... Are you there, dude?
Oh, you know it.
Sona Vista.
Sona Vista, everybody.
This is... We're having a shaky time today.
There's nothing shaky about it, Sean.
It's a very, very shaky time today. So we need you to kind of pull us out. So just hit us with your best shot.
Wow. You know, this is just this is a bad predicament because I also chose the fish. So I don't think there's anybody to fly the plane. I think that...
You're not in the studio with us today.
No, I'm not.
And why are we not able to see your smiling face?
Well, I'll try to make it a short but highly concentrated with entertainment value kind of a story.
The bar is very low today, by the way. So, just so that you know, I think as long as it remains somewhere within a romance language, I think we're going to be we'll be fine. Even Esperanto would work. S'il vous plaît.
I live in an apartment, and my apartment is sort of the middle apartment of the building I live in, which means that I don't have my two bathrooms are both. Entirely internal. There's no window. So they have fans that I think were taken out of World War One U-boats. I mean, they're the most incredibly noisy fan that really don't move, you know, maybe one cubic foot of atmosphere an hour. But they are loud. And so sometimes I take a nice leisurely bath. And I have a friend, as you well know, who's very sick. And he called, and I'm in the bath. So I decided to do something really not bright. And I thought, well, I'm going to turn the fan off, but the fan's on the same circuit as the light. So I turned them both off, and I thought, I'm in the bath, it's, you know, dark, it's quiet. Now I can have the conversation. Well, it comes time to end the conversation, and I think, okay, well, I know my bathroom pretty well. I get up, standing in the bathtub, and I think, you know, when I put my hand out here, I will touch the counter on the vanity. And I think that's only about 2 inches away. Well, it was about 2.5 inches away. And, you know, ass over tea kettle. Oh. I just kaplow out of the bath. And my wife... hears the huge sound. She comes running into total darkness with me, you know, legs up in the air, stark naked, still hanging onto the phone. And she looked at me and said, well, so as long as everything's okay. And that was pretty much it. So I smashed my shoulder somehow into something.
Wow.
This became a quite the discussion at the ER where... The admitting nurse, you know, one who takes all your information, she wants to know how I did this. Well, describe the fall. And I said, well, you know, it's really difficult to describe the fall, you know, because it happened fast. I didn't TiVo it, okay? I don't...
Wouldn't it have been easier to say that your wife hit you?
Well, I told that to her psychiatrist.
I mean, wouldn't that have just... I understand that there would be some emotional scarring involved, but wouldn't that be less?
it would have turned out that way. She insisted on a story. I said, well, it won't be accurate. I said, you know, can you describe your last car accident? You know, just exactly what happened? She said, look, I need to write something down. I said, you know, it seems like you need this story more than I do. So why don't you write something? Make it entertaining. Make it heroic, if you want. You know, like I was saving a child from a bus or something like that. But so, I don't know if there is a story.
What is the prognosis?
The prognosis is I will regain full function, but there's just a lot of smushed stuff in there.
You break anything?
No.
Right.
That was the first thing that they looked for.
But you tore some stuff.
Actually, I compressed stuff.
Oh, well, that's okay.
Yeah, you'd think.
Yeah.
And so I was actually pretty delighted to hear that. But Now a week later, and it doesn't feel much better. It's not that the sense of delight is faded.
All right.
I thought, well, maybe breaking something might have been better. I don't know.
All right. So is there anything we can do for you? I ask in a hollow gesture of friendship.
And taken in that, no.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks for not putting me on the spot.
You're welcome. You know, it's good.
It could have got pretty bad, Sean. You could have cracked your head on the counter, on the toilet.
I don't think that would have slowed me down. But I think that the cracking of the head, that head trauma injuries, I seem to rebound from very easily. Very easily. Very easily. It's there's not a lot to go wrong up there.
I didn't bring it down. I just asked a question. I just asked a question.
Well, we're sorry you're not here, Sean.
Yes, we're very, very sorry.
Very sorry.
Very sorry.
Very sorry.
You can't tell.
And I'm disappointed because I wore your favorite sweater.
Oh, you did?
I did.
You look lovely in that.
Thank you.
Well, I wish now, see, this is the time where we need the cam for people to see how lovely how lovely the sweater is as modeled by...
So when did you do this to yourself?
I did this to myself last weekend, weekend prior to this. So it's been about almost 10 days.
So what in the news has captured your attention in the last 10 days, having lots and lots of time now to focus on world events?
Well,
so you got nothing either. All right, no problem. We go back to playing the Barbara Walters bit. That's okay. I got the 2020 things here. Hold on a second. We'll play some of those.
When is a good fairy going to take off my penis?
Were you able to hear that?
No.
Oh. Well, I'm happy to play it again.
When is a good fairy going to take off my penis?
You heard it that time.
Yes, I did.
All right, there you go. Do you know about this thing?
No.
So she did a 2020 prep. The last week was tranny week. It was. I almost think it must have been a sweeps week, because last week was like all transsexuals all the time. First of all, the LA Times reporter that came out of as a transsexual. Did you read about this?
Yes, the sports reporter.
The sports reporter from the LA Times. You must have read about that, yes?
No, I did not.
No idea what I'm talking about. Well, don't let that stop
you. Why do you seem surprised?
Don't let that stop you.
Hey, Sean, Robin's very upset with me.
No, not really. No.
Vehemently nodding while she says that, yes.
Not really. Mike Penner, who's a staff writer at the New York Times, wrote a first-person article last week in the Times on the 26th that basically said, during my first 23 years with the Times, I've held a wide range of roles and titles, tennis, Angels, Olympics, SAS, sports media critic, NFL columnist, recent keeper of the Morning Briefing Flame. Today I leave for a few weeks vacation, and when I return, I will come back in yet another incarceration as Christine. I'm a transsexual sports writer. It has taken me 40 years, a million tears, and hundreds of hours of soul-wrenching therapy for me to work up the courage to type those words. I realize many readers and colleagues and friends will be shocked to read them. And then goes on to talk very nicely about, you know, the struggle that lots of people who were trans or gay or lesbian or Iranian or any of those things, that, you know, they struggle with their entire life trying to keep it a secret.
Persian.
They try to keep it secret, and eventually they get into their 40s, and it becomes the dirty secret that they have to let upon the world. So I figured that would be it. But oh no.
Wait, there's more.
There was more. So on Sunday, the morning program that used to be with Charles Kuralt and now is with Osgood. Is it right? Even Osgood anymore? Charles Osgood?
I don't know.
So they did an expo, not an expose, but kind of a discussion with Renee Richards. You remember Renee Richards?
Oh, yeah. The tennis.
The tranny tennis player.
Right.
Can we say tranny? Is that okay?
It's like tranny wheels.
Is it?
Wow. Sean, nothing from you, huh?
We're sending you to...
Nothing from you.
How old is Renee Richards now?
She's 70.
Wow.
She's 70.
My God.
Yeah, she's 70, and she's just written a new book, which is the second serve or third serve or whatever the hell it is. I guess her first book was called Second Serve. So she was born in 1934.
Yeah.
Right? August 1934, and she has just written, let me see here, a new book called 2007's Richard Publer's second autobiography called No Way Renee, The Second Half of My Notorious Life. So she was on the Charles Kuralt kind of thing. But she was interviewed by Leslie Stahl, I think. Mm-hmm. Or is she still alive?
Yeah.
She was one of those people. So she was interviewed by somebody like that. And that was interesting. So I figured, well, maybe that would be it. Like, we get two transgender stories in the news 1 week. That's a bit... Oh, no. Barbara Walters has to jump on the tranny tracks. And on 2020 this past week, why are you laughing?
It's not
funny. That was funny.
It's funny.
Okay, sorry. Okay, I'm sorry that was funny. Okay. She did this thing.
It was more clever.
Okay.
Be quite honest.
All right, let her get to the tranny tracks.
Why is that? I'm not allowed to talk now?
What time are you leaving today?
Soon. Okay. Oh, I get a laugh from Sean on that one.
When is a good fairy going to take off my penis?
I've been told that many times.
So she did a whole 2020 on Friday night about transgender children, right? Yes, Sherry just backed up the microphone. So kids who are, I guess, you know, 6 or 7 years old, and you know that it's going to be, you know, one of those kind of very special episodes.
This program contains occasional explicit language and a few details which some parents may not consider appropriate for young children.
So right away,
well, you know, they've got you hooked.
I don't find it appropriate either.
but the music is what I think is so great. This was the you know, because they have the, it's almost like the Hulk music, you know? It's
oh, no.
No one can imagine what these special children must go through every day to be who they are. They and their families struggle to simply be accepted. What if one day your child said, "I am in the wrong body"? Could they accept it? Could you?
Wow.
There's more music.
I don't want to derail us, but you kind of made a point out of this, and I thought it was very interesting. We accept this now as very natural, but music in these sort of television documentary news magazine programs was very controversial, you know, about 20 years ago when it started being used by, I think 2020 was the first show. 60 Minutes didn't have a musical accompaniment to its stories to help set the tone. I believe 2020 was the first, and it was incredibly controversial. And now that I just hear this without the visual images, it sounds kind of preposterous.
I know.
Yes. And she is a ghoul. I mean, she is such a ghoul. Listen to this clip here. This was the most uncomfortable clip for me to pull today.
Do you mourn the loss of a son?
I mourn the loss of the idea of my son.
I could just look at you all day. You're so cute.
But I do miss...
It's all right. Tell me if you can.
Miss the boy.
You miss the boy. The baby boy you had.
I had to pack up all of her clothes, her boy clothes. And I see the pictures and the video. The child's gone.
Isn't that pornographic?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I mean, for Barbara Walters to, I mean, it's like, you know, tell me if you can. it's not just that one.
Are you a boy or a girl?
A girl.
And you really feel that way, don't you? Have you always? Can you ever remember not feeling like a girl? You're a very pretty girl, do you know that? Yeah, you are.
I
didn't edit that.
Yeah.
That's right from the show. I mean, that's like child predator language.
Oh, wow. That would just make Werner Herzog blush. You know, I made Grizzly Man, but this goes too far.
And the bathing suit did not show a bulge?
Yeah, it did.
But that didn't matter?
Yeah, it did.
So it was so the family, you know, I forced myself to watch this entire thing, and it's so clear that they took advantage of these people. That this, I mean, it's not that this should not have been broadcast because this is not a topic that's suitable for discussion. I think it's an interesting topic, but they had these kids on there. It was completely wrong to have the children on this fucking program. It was totally exploitive. Is that the right word? Someone?
Anyone?
Jason? Let me get this straight. You're accusing our mainstream media of being exploitive.
When is a good fairy going to take off my penis?
These people have ethics and morals that
are absent.
That I look up to. These are giants. These are ethical giants. And if they say it's okay, what kind of nappy-headed hoe would I be to say otherwise?
She got this admission out of one of the parents.
All of the male-to-female transgender children are obsessed with mermaids. And I believe it's because of the ambiguous genitalia. There's nothing below the waist but a tail. And how appealing is that?
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, isn't that why ancient mariners were obsessed with maybe not.
It was this.
When is a good fairy going to take off my penis?
She is such a fucking ghoul. I never considered Barbara Walters to be evil, but this is a fucking evil thing.
She's not aging well. She's getting
ghoulish in her. Let's put it, that's a nice way of putting it. Yeah. That is a nice way of putting it. So, big week for trannies in the media.
Woo-hoo.
All the music today on Snarsy.
You know, I never thought of Barbara Walters, and I'm not sure I do now, as particularly a ghoul. I think Barbara Walters, and I mean this in all sincerity, not just for the sort of punchline, if there is one, I think she's stupid. I think she's not a very bright person, and therefore can be easily influenced. I think she apes being a journalist, because I don't think she knows what that means or how it works.
I think that's insulting to apes. Sorry, I didn't know where to go with
that. How far down can I go? Lemur? I mean, do I have to just leave primates altogether? Or?
Nice marmot.
Dude.
Well, so anyhow, so I guess there's something mainstream when you get three stories on the Renee Richards thing was on CBS and the Barbara Walters thing was on ABC and the obviously the LA Times thing was all the liberal media. And so I guess I can come out of the closet now. I guess we don't have to do the show from my second bedroom.
It's so strange that we live in a world where I'm sure what the LA reporter said is true, that, 40 years, innumerable tears, that whole thing. I thought, as you were reading it, I thought, how sad that all that had to go into this. All the tears, all the counseling, all the... That we don't have a world where we can get around that.
Well, we're getting closer. I think if Giuliani is a mayor, is governor, president, I can't bring myself to say it. I'm willing to give him every other elected position but president.
If he becomes dog catcher, we will...
Well, I think the one thing that's clear to me is when you look at, the new adventures of new Christine, so to speak, in the LA Times. I mean, this is someone who's in her late 40s, right?
Yeah.
And so I don't think you will there's a very clear distinction between someone who's in their 40s and is finally coming to terms with this after a lifetime of feeling like this isn't something that can be even discussed. And these kids.
Oh, my God. There's absolutely.
Right? And so there's been a huge shift, obviously, in somewhere over the last 40 years. And that I think, is a good thing.
Let the national healing begin. I agree.
I'm looking for a national talk show.
Am I a part of it?
Oh, behave.
I'll be quiet for the break. Is there a musical theme this week, by the way?
Michael Jackson.
I don't even get that.
Oh, you will. Play back the kids. What? Barbara's talking to kids about... Nothing.
About what?
Nothing.
There was no inappropriate touching.
No. Michael Jackson.
The sexuality of the mermaid.
Thank you. Michael Jackson never touched anyone.
No, but I mean... These kids are not claiming that they were sexually abused.
I think Barbara Walters is sexually abusing them.
Wow. You need to come to rehearsal. Because we go over this stuff. We have a rundown.
Oh, that wasn't my stance? Sean, Robin's very upset with me.
You got more Saul stuff? You got more Mort Saul material?
I got nothing to say about Mort Saul. I'm moving on.
Anything?
I didn't want
to... Don't be upset with Parvee.
Thank you, Sean. I'm a very sensitive flower. I didn't want to talk about Richard Jenny. Is that too old?
Is he still dead?
I believe so.
We'll take a break. We'll come back on the other side. We got more dead fish peddlers. We got another one. Another smoked fish guy died.
You're kidding. A giant?
Another giant? Yeah, we're going to be talking about that. Hang around. You're listening to Schnauzer Logic. Robin Goldstein showing me in the Parviz Vitali and Sherry Stevens inviting you to stick around.
Stick around for more Schnauzer Logic.
When I wake up, well, I know I'm gonna be the man who wakes up next to you. When I go out, yeah, I know I'm gonna be the man who goes along with you. If I get drunk, well, I know I'm gonna be the man who gets drunk next to you. And if I haver, yeah, I know I'm gonna be the man who's havering to you. But I would walk 500 miles and I would walk 500 more to be the man who walked 1,000 miles to fall down at your door. When I'm working, yes, I know I'm gonna be the man who's working hard for you. When the money comes in for the work I do, I'll pass almost every penny on to you. When I come home, I'm gonna be the man who comes back home to you. And if I broke, well, I know I'm gonna be the man who's growing over you. But I would walk 500 miles and I would walk 500 more just to be the man who walks 1,000 miles to fall down at your door. When I'm lonely, well, I know I'm gonna be the man who's lonely without you. And when I'm dreaming, well, I know I'm gonna dream about the time when I'm with you. When I go out, well, I know I'm gonna be the man who goes along with you. And when I come home, yes, I know I'm gonna be the man who comes back home with you. I'm gonna be the man who's coming home.
Flushing the toilet while your spouse is in the shower.
Oh, sorry.
Schnauzer Logic.
Welcome back. We're 52 minutes into this episode of Schnauzer Logic. Robin Goldstein, host buddy and pal. Straight white Buddhist vegetarian lesbian fraternity boy trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual woman, patent attorney with a social sense of humor and a master's degree in city planning, www.schnauzerlogic.com. Welcoming back Sherry Stevens, Sonavista.
Sonavista.
Welcome back Parviz Vitali, who I love dearly, Sonavista.
Sonavista. That check won't bounce.
Did you see how he just, his whole body language changed? He's all happy now.
Why?
Because you said you loved him.
I do. I love him. Still want a divorce. For the children's sake.
Let's stay for the children.
I think you come for the chicken, but you stay for the children. No, wait, that's
me.
And on the line, let's say welcome back at Son of Easter to Sean Meehan.
The Son of Easter, my friend.
And also on the line with us, very, very special guest. I don't think we've had him on the show before. My good friend, Peter Alfichtig, Son of Easter, Friggy.
Janusz Robin.
How are you?
I'm doing great.
It's good to have you on the line with us. So the last show that we had a couple of weeks ago, Sean did a very delightful, dramatic reading of an obituary of Reuben Caslow, who ran the Acme Smoked Fish Company in Brooklyn. He was a sort of titan of smoked fish. And that was actually an interview, not an interview, but it was an interview with a dead man from Anne Rice. No, it was an obituary that was written by Marguerite Fox. And so I thought it was really funny. Peter thought it was really funny. I gave it to Sean. Sean thought it was funny. We read it, and I figured that would be it, and we had a good time with it, and that was it. But last week, Peter sent me another obituary of another smoked fish titan who had passed away. So there's clearly something going on here. So let me just say welcome again to Peter. And Noosh, how do you find these things?
You know, I live in New York, and I get the Times every day, and I sit on the train, and I read and do the puzzle. And when the puzzle's easy, I scroll through the rest of the paper. And the first one I came across, it was just pure happenstance. The Vonnegut obituary was on the opposite page.
Ah.
And so I was looking at that, and it took up the whole page, and I said, you know, I really never liked Vonnegut tremendously, and it seems awfully long and involved. So my eyes wandered over to the other side, and there was this picture of this goober with two younger goobers next to him, and that was Reuben and his boys. And I started reading this thing, and I at first I was like, well, this is really silly. And then I got into the second paragraph, and it was, like, even worse. And then I started to giggle. Yeah. And I said to myself, this is an obituary I'm reading. Why am I laughing? I mean, and then I got to that list of all those different fish that they sold. And the inside jokes about everybody knows that it's not smoked. I mean, it was just, and I'm sitting there going, either I'm totally out of control and I've lost all touch with reality, or this is just so over the top that I, you know, so I figured I would pick a rational person to send it to, and well, when my daughter didn't get it, she said, I don't see what's so funny about this.
So you sent it to the right person. You sent it to me. I laughed my ass off.
So I mean, I don't usually read obituaries, but you know, I was sort of cruising around at one point, and there was this one, and it was like, I said, I just don't believe it.
And the obituary is written by
Same Marguerite Fox.
Dame Marguerite Fox, who you should know we're going to have on the show next week.
I was telling Sean, as you had me sort of in the virtual green room, that I sort of Googled her, and I discovered that apparently she has an interesting history. Her father died in 1999, but he was apparently a physicist who was blacklisted in the McCarthy era.
Mm-hmm.
And then sort of went to Haifa to teach physics there because he couldn't get a job in the U.S., and that may account for her name. Sounds sort of like a Israeli-type name, Marguerite.
Oh, I thought Fox doesn't sound particularly Jewish.
It probably wasn't the original name.
Pronounced Faux. Foxstein. So anyhow, I contacted her today, and she said she'd love to be on the show, and she's very interested in linguistics and language and what have you, so we're going to try to have her next week. But I didn't want to let too much time go, and so we didn't have a chance to get the material to Sean, but I asked you whether you'd be willing to give a dramatic reading of poor Mr. Conrad Spiz, who is one of the last of the great fishmongers.
A near titan, it appears. Not quite as much of a titan as
as
Ruby was, but
and you would have thought that after Caslow died, Conrad would have hung on longer just to kind of claim that crown.
Apparently, as you'll discover, he actually died before him.
So maybe
his obituary only had interest after the other one came out.
So it might have been that Caslow hung around just long enough to outlive Spiz. Well, would you dine us with a reading?
Certainly.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Peter Alfichtig, Esquire.
April 18, 2007. Conrad Spiz, 90, a cigar-loving master of smoked fish. Conrad Spiz, a tough-talking, cigar-chewing artisan of smoked fish, whose work was enshrined behind glass at some of New York's best-known food shops, died on April 3 in Port Washington, New York. He was 90 and lived in New Hyde Park, New York. The cause was a heart attack, his son Harvey said. Mr. Spiz was the second well-known figure in New York's smoked fish community to die this month. His death came 5 days before that of Reuben Caslow, who ran Acme Smoked Fish in Brooklyn and whose obituary appeared in newspapers around the country. For more than half a century, Mr. Spiz presided at Articulate Top Volume over Rigo Smoked Fish, a smokehouse and retail outlet in Middle Village, Queens. His death and Mr. Caslow's signaled the passing of an era. When the two men started in the business after World War II, there were scores of smokehouses in New York City. Today, there are barely half a dozen, Harvey Spiz said. Perhaps only New York could have supported as many competing smoked fish feasts for as long as it did. They reduced numbers a mirror of Jewish assimilation and exodus to the suburbs and of the changing American palate. Mr. Spiz's wares, like Mr. Caslow's, were sold for decades at New York City's most prestigious fish counters, among them Zabar's, Russ and Daughters, and Barney Greengrass. But where Acme was and remains a giant in the field, Rigo Smoked Fish was a more modest enterprise. Mr. Spiz, the last of three brothers who founded Rigo, closed the business in 2002 when he retired. What Mr. Spiz may have lacked in the size of his business, he more than made up for in the size of his personality. If Conrad Spiz had not already existed, Damon Runyon would have had to invent him. An immigrant from England whose voice rang with the cadences of his adopted Brooklyn, Mr. Spiz was an impassioned autodidact who taught himself French so he could read Victor Hugo in the original. The shelves of his office were also stocked with Shakespeare, James Joyce, Johnny Walker, and the Daily Racing Form. At the smokehouse, the calendar seemed blissfully suspended in 1949, the year Mr. Spiz founded the company with his brothers Ruby and Jackie for $666.33 apiece. There, Mr. Spiz made his fish, salmon, whitefish, sturgeon, and much else, in a heady cloud of cigar smoke, opera, and invective. Where most smokehouses smoke their fish over hardwoods, Mr. Spiz stuck to charcoal to the very end. He had no use for computers. He kept all his accounts in his head, typing up invoices on a battered Remington. He worked 7 days a week, even when he was in his mid-80s and had already had a stroke. The only thing wrong with him, he told Newsday at the time, was that he could no longer holler. Mr. Spiz adored hollering, and by all accounts was very good at it, though perhaps he did it just to be heard above the classical music that played in the smokehouse all day long. A great many things brought him quickly to a full rolling boil. These included his customers, who were often treated to his masterfully chosen Anglo-Saxon vocabulary. It was the opposite of customer service, said Harvey Spiz's daughter, Erica Spiz, who worked for her grandfather from 1999 to 2000. Her duties included dropping off quantities of tickets each day at the local off-track betting parlor. Conrad Spiz, known as Connie, was born on July 6, 1916, in Manchester, England, to an English mother and a Russian-born father. The family moved to Williamsburg, Brooklyn, when Connie was 12. His father was an iron worker, and Connie and his brothers were introduced to their future profession after helping him do a job in a New York smokehouse. After high school, Connie worked on the delivery trucks of several smokehouses, driving fish to stores throughout the city. He studied briefly at City College, but left to help support his family. In World War II, he served with the Army's 9th Armored Division in the Battle of the Bulge. In 1939, Mr. Spiz married a young woman from a good smoked fish family, Sally Fagan. He also loved Dickens. She died in January. Besides his son Harvey of Great Neck, New York, Mr. Spiz is survived by a daughter, Susan Stolwerk of Searingtown, New York, a brother, Lynn of Margate, Florida, and 6 grandchildren. Another son, Sheldon, died in 2003. Somewhat to Mr. Spiz's regret, neither of his sons followed him into the business. But he was hugely proud of their work, in high school and college as supernumeraries at the Metropolitan Opera. Mr. Spiz had three simultaneous subscriptions to the Met, Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays. He loved Italian opera best of all. Puccini and Verdi, Mr. Spiz found, were superb to smoke fish to. That's all she wrote.
Very nicely done, Noosh.
Wow, you know, that is the problem that I have suffered in having smoked fish. There's the smoke is good, but there's not quite enough invective. I can sometimes tell that, you know, when you're dining, it's not there.
Does this seem like a passing, and I don't mean these two, but a passing of an era? I mean, these are folks that are identified by their personality, and most people who are sort of in any field today are really defined more by the money that they make and, you know, but these folks were just all about personality, and I don't think I could point to quite as many people today. Is that your sense?
Well, I mean, the first guy was obviously, you know, well-received by a public relations firm who wrote up something for him. This, I think, was a labor of love. written for some schmagegi at the corner business who was a hard-smoking betting guy who, you know, who also sold fish. I think that clearly Marguerite Fox wrote this when she saw that this guy had died, realizing that she had just, you know, written this other one. And so I was like, wow, I can tie them together. I mean, the first one was so over the top, it was unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, this one is just goofy.
Well, it is a little bit goofy, but it and from my point of view, it sort of, it feels like it is celebrating a bygone era. You know, these guys started their own business. They were not acquired by large, you know, conglomerates, right? They kind of ran them by themselves. They wanted the family to become part of that. And maybe that's, you know, we're out here in California, so maybe that's more of a Northeast kind of thing. I mean, are you obviously practiced law in New York City. Do you still deal with lots of family-owned businesses, or are most of your clients now larger corporate entities?
The answer is both, but to the extent that I deal with family-owned operations, I think they would be more along the lines of the Acme Group rather than this schmagegi. I mean, this is the kind of guy, when you buy his product, you have to look to see if there are any sort of cigar ash in your product. I mean, that's the impression that I get here, whereas the other characters have probably mechanized their operation and, you know, and they have the salmon swimming upstream into the beginning of the conveyor belt that, you know, sucks it down to make the lock.
Now, are you a fan of the smoked fish yourself?
I happen to love lox. I mean, but, you know, smoked fish now, not really.
as we know, lox is not smoked.
Right. I mean,
it's brined. If you listened to last week's show, you would know that.
You'll forget that you only knew that because it was in the obituary, which I sent you.
I'm willing to take information from wherever I get it.
I'm sorry. I was supposed to be nice to you, right?
No. No reason knew you to be different than anybody else.
Oh, okay.
Do you want to say Sona Vista? You can start the show, too. That's fine.
Do I have to tell a joke?
No, obviously not. Peter and I have known each other. How long have we known each other, Frick?
I figured it's 23 and a half years.
Is that right?
Yeah. Holy. September 1983.
83. That's an insane amount of time. I was a ne'er-do-well in law school. You know, I've recounted before that I barely got out of college twice. And so by the time it came to me to apply to law schools, I didn't have the credentials to go to a good law school. And so I wound up going to an okay law school, a regional law school. And even there, I only had fair, you know, grades. I was not worried about getting good grades. And so I sort of had opportunities to work, but it was not sort of the best of the best. Peter is genius. Good schools, good grades. I mean, he's like 10 times smarter than I am. You know, not quite as funny, but pretty close. But he's just a really bright and creative guy. And so I think the world was his oyster. And so we turned out we both were applying for the same law firm in New York, the small little boutique firm. And they were pretty sure that he was going to take another job. So I was kind of their safety candidate, if you will. And so they kept putting me off. They weren't going to make an offer. Well, we don't know. And now, of course, I didn't know what was going on, but they were kind of waiting for him to say no and go someplace else. And then they figured, okay, well, we got this Janusz and he'll be okay and that'll be fine. And finally, I said, listen, I got another offer. I got to know whether you're going to say yes or not. And they go, all right, fine, we'll say yes. And like the moment I said yes, Peter said yes too. And so now the two of us were there. They didn't have room for two of us. So they put us in the back room of a library. The library had like a little storage closet. And it's like if you got two puppies at the same time and you put them in the same space, one puppy you could control, but two puppies you got no seat. We're crapping all over the place. We're tearing up the newspaper. And we'd egg each other on. I would go, I don't understand why
puppies
we don't.
Puppies and a big wheel.
Puppies, there was a big wheel in the back room. That was one of the cases I think you were working on. And I would go, why are we getting more? Well, we should be getting more vacation time. And Peter would go, yeah, you want to go talk to Harold about that. Now, if I were by myself, I would be, we should get more vacation, but I would keep it to myself. But when there's somebody else there, you can kind of egg the other person on. And the two of us had so we would egg each other on to do and say the stupidest fucking things that you would never have the nerve to do when you're starting out. And as a result, we gave each other courage to go and do really stupid kind of things. How long were you there? We both weren't there for very long.
Well, you lasted about a year. I was there about three.
Yeah, about three. And then you went to work, you became a partner in your dad's firm.
Right, right.
And so you're in New York, you practice, I mean, I think of you as a patent attorney, but your practice is much broader than that, obviously. Intellectual property, or do you do general commercial work as well?
I do general commercial work. I do structured finance. I do banking work. I do commercial litigation. I do intellectual property litigation.
What's your sense of your practice? I mean, you've been practicing law now like I have for about 23 years. Is this what you expect? First of all, did you expect to be doing it for this long?
No, absolutely not.
Okay. You've got your daughter's gift of gab. But, I mean, what did you expect to be doing, and how is this sort of different than you thought the practice would be after all these years?
Kind of figured at some point I would find the way out of the legal profession to make really big bucks working even less. That would be the answer.
All right.
But I discovered, and this is sort of the analogy you've heard me say before, that being a lawyer is a whole lot like being a prostitute. Because there are only really two ways that you can make more money. Either you charge more for each trick, or you turn more tricks. In the lawyer side, it's you charge more per hour or work more hours. And so, like in that business, the only way to really make big money is to be a pimp, which is to have others work for you. And in the law firm business, that's known as being a partner and having associates.
So what would the analogy of a rusty trombone be?
It would be as obvious way, I think.
Does that mean that if you're a partner, you get to wear a lot of exotic animal skin pants and you get to have a cane?
It's hats and furs on the inside of your car.
And have you ever gone to court and argued Dirty Sanchez defense?
You only need to know two words when you're the pimp of the firm, and that's just time served, Your Honor. Time served.
It's Alfred Dick Stein and Huggy Bear Associates. I mean,
what can I tell you? Snoop Doggy Goldstein, huh?
Esquire.
Snoop Jewy Jew, I think is.
Snoop Doggy Goldstein, Esquire.
But I mean, you remember guys. There were fewer women who were practicing law when we were starting out. There's obviously far more now. But I mean, folks who were our age when we were, you know, in our 20s, they seemed ancient.
Yes,
but weren't they?
Our first boss at the time, who we used to make fun of, I mean, incredibly. I mean, we had two. We had the direct boss, Steve, and then we had Harold, who was the more senior guy. But we used to make fun of both of those guys. One because he kept popping his biceps, and the other because he had no eyebrows.
That's true.
And we used to just absolutely deteriorate into, like, you know, giggling masses. I mean, it was really terrible.
Well, I think you were provoked. Those both sound like excellent reasons for lampoon. I don't think anyone, there's no jury on earth, you know, that would convict you. What, don't you think, though, that people, maybe this is just a sort of what I like to see in the mirror presentation, but don't you think that people, when we were young and they were in their 40s or 50s, they already had their eye on the RV. They already had, you know, they were loosening their trousers to, you know, they were having them let out. They were.
I disagree with that. I
really?
Think that by the time we were in our mid-20s getting started working, by that point, people who were in their mid-40s, we're already realizing that with colleges as expensive as they were and kids and wives and things, they were going to be working into their 60s and they were going to be feeling better and they would take their retirement later. They would take an extension on it. I don't think that people had that sort of sensation that, you know, they basically their lives were going to end quite as early.
Kind of the white shoe law firm thing.
And they were going to drink themselves to death by 2 in the afternoon.
Yeah. I'm still working on that, actually, but I'm surprised that you're still practicing law. I'm surprised that you haven't gotten into something else, you know, that you're not sort of, you know, CEO of a business of some kind. Because, I mean, you went to Cornell. You've got a strong technology background. And as I said, you're one of the smartest fucks that I know. So if you didn't have 2 kids that were in college, would you think about something else? Is that kind of what keeps you where you are? Or do you really love it?
You know, I've asked myself that question many times, and I think the answer is that there are times that I really love it, but there are other times when I just find it a drudge. And, you know, I used to believe that that was because I picked something bad, and as I got older and I realized that it, the answer is that nothing is not a drudge if you do it all the time. I mean, I would imagine that no matter what you do, there are parts of what you end up doing that you don't enjoy. Do enjoy, hopefully.
It's not the first time I've made the remark on the show, but a great line from Dr. J, none other than Julius Erving, when asked what it was like to play professional basketball, he said, you know, it's like doing what I love doing even when I don't want to do it.
Yeah, nothing like the law, but it's an interesting comment.
Well, I'm not sure what he was a doctor of. It may have been a JD. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, I can usually leap from the foul line in the courthouse and slam dunk on the judge's bench. But, you know, that's fun, but it doesn't happen often enough.
I've seen Peter. He's got quite a fadeaway jumper.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, Noosh, I want to thank you very much for turning us on to obituaries. And Margalit Fox, is there anything we should ask her when we have her on next week?
Yeah, I was telling Sean, I mean, you got to ask her about her father. I mean, and the fact that she apparently he was blacklisted by the un-American
HUAC, right? Yeah.
McCarthy. And as a result, he couldn't get a job as a physicist here and went to the Technion in Haifa. So she obviously has an interesting background.
Yes. And she spans obituaries from Conrad Spiz to Tom Poston.
Tom Poston, yeah, that was today, I think.
Yeah, that was today. Who was married to Suzanne Pleshette.
Yes.
I had no idea.
Neither did I.
Who's I that? Was shocked to hear that. Tom Poston.
Score.
Yeah.
Who's Suzanne Pleshette?
Bob Newhart show. He was.
Oh.
She was the wife of the
the brunette?
She did a lot of Disney movies.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I would never have assumed that he could have gotten someone that hot looking at that point. But
right.
No.
And you know, there's like a 15-year age difference between the two of them, but they'd only been married for 7 years. They got married in 2000.
Yeah, I mean, I read the obituary just because I was curious about her, and then you know, him as well, because I had watched the Newhart show as a kid.
Sure.
At the time, I remember her being hot.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, she's got to be, what, in her 70s or 80s?
She's 70, I think.
Suzanne Pleshette?
Uh-huh.
Suzanne Pleshette was my dad's babysitter.
Really?
Yes. Suzanne Pleshette.
But she must be even older.
So yeah, I get well. My dad would have been close to. Well, my dad would have been in his 80s, right? So I think yeah. So she's probably yeah, yeah. I think Suzanne Pleshette was my dad's babysitter.
Well, wait, that doesn't make sense if she's only 70.
He would have to have been at least five.
Maybe, oh, it does, maybe he babysat her
after she survived Titanic.
You're right. Maybe he babysat her.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what I'm.
Because that's about the age difference.
Okay,
there.
So maybe my dad babysat Suzanne Pleshette. Yeah. There was something having to do with my dad and Suzanne Pleshette and babies.
Okay.
I remember that specifically. He's not here. I can't ask him. You got to believe me. And moving on. What do you mean you didn't like Kurt Vonnegut?
I didn't. I read him once when I was forced to in high school and didn't like it. I read him once in college when I was forced to and didn't like it. And I tried reading one of his books when I was working, and I didn't like it.
All right.
So three and out, and that's it?
You don't. As Robin may tell you, I am a prodigious reader of books.
Yes.
I probably read more than 50 books a year and have for the last 30 years.
Like the president.
Yeah, I was going to say, you don't even have a bead on the president, my friend. You're not a prodigious reader.
Are we talking about Bush? But his books are no more than like 12 pages long.
Come on, there are illustrations too. You got to count those pages. They're numbered.
It's an instruction manual for my new microwave. I'm learning how to make popcorn on page 5. All right, guys. Well, listen, thank you very much. Thanks for turning us on to I've now become a huge Margalit Fox fan. Who knew?
Don't you want her to write your obituary? I mean, I can't wait
yes!
to die just to have her cover it, you know?
I'm willing to put out a down payment.
Just the majesty she's going to bring to my little prosaic life, you know?
I think you send her a whitefish, she might be sweet on you.
All right, Noosh.
Okay.
Thank you, my friend.
Good night, all.
Take care.
Thank you.
All right, take care. We'll take a break. We'll come back on the other side. We want to talk to Kaparvis before he... What? Did you have something you have to say?
No, no.
What?
Nothing,
go,
nothing,
no, please.
Nothing,
no, no,
nothing.
No, I'm trying to get back to you. What are you... What? Come on.
I have nothing to say. Nothing to say. No, no, no.
But you started to say something.
I was just going
to
say, all right, I'll get back to you after the break.
You're just chewing up valuable time.
I didn't say anything.
Time is like money on a radio show. It's like gold Krugerrands.
I've lost Sherry. She's no longer my side.
All right, we'll take a break.
Sean, she's going to write your obituary. It's going to be a nice, graceful fall in the bathroom. It's not going to be as choppy as your story.
No, I'm going to save the child
from
the bus.
Just hold on. We want to do a quick break so that we can come back and do full Parvis nudity. All right?
Full frontal Parvis.
Full frontal Parvis.
Back in a minute.
It's very short segment.
Full frontal full frontal Persian. All right, hold on.
But you know what they say.
That's the trouble around here. Talk, talk, talk. Oh, sometimes I think I must go mad.
We'll be back with more Schnauzer Logic.
And
So give me just a little kiss.
Like this.
Walk this way, you wanna talk this way. Walk this way, you wanna talk this way.
Walk this way.
In the school and our feet flying up in the air, singing hey diddle diddle with the kitty in the middle. You be swinging like you just don't care. So I took a big chance at the high school dance with the boy. He was ready to play. Was it me he was feeling? Cause he knew what he was doing when he told me how to walk this way.
Like this.
Walk this way, you wanna talk this way. Walk this way, you wanna talk this way.
Walk this way.
It's the Parviz Vitaly Show, starring Parviz Vitaly, and here he is, your host, Mr. Parviz Vitaly.
Welcome all, welcome one, to the Parviz Vitaly Show. That's right, it's Laugh in the Sand as we kick it off this week with Camels in the Rough. This week's topic will be trees that never grow in the farm. That's right. When you're wrapped around with the sand, it never grows. Our first guest today is a lovely lady named Tammy. Hi, Tammy.
Hi.
Thanks for coming out, Tammy. That's all we have for Tammy. I like this. This is good. This is good. So,
you still there, Sean?
Yeah. Okay. I hope the music's still playing.
That was cool. That's what I've been missing all this time?
Yes.
Yeah, but there's actually, you need to do a show now.
Yeah, there's a lot of weight on your shoulders at this moment.
I understand.
So what you said at the beginning of the show today was there's lots of stuff to get caught up on.
Oh, yeah. Okay, let me get started on this right away, okay?
Yeah. 6:30, by the way.
6:30. I passed my... This is about work-related stuff. It's kind of lame, but it's work-related.
No, we really care.
All right. I'm just going to click my heels 3 times. It's been 1 year since I've been at this job. 1 year and 1 month.
Yay!
Woo! 1 year ago, practically today, or this week, I was telling you about this orbital welding fiasco I went through.
I remember it well.
And
we had Bob Lamb on the phone.
Correct. And so from that point on until about maybe 2 or 3 months into my apprenticeship, so, you know, I was having the worst time with my boss. Him and I were just button heads and stuff like that. And I believe I've told many stories about that as well. Now, 1 year later, him and I are like the best of friends.
Wow.
He claims that I am probably the best employee he has working under him right now.
Congratulations.
Nicely done.
Can you imagine
He's
that?
He's a turnaround man.
Can you imagine that? He is so proud of my work.
What do you attribute this amazing change to?
I just stayed true to myself, and I believed in myself.
You gave 110%.
No, more like 80. But
just play one game at a time.
I believe that this man just did not know me.
I see. And so it was just all about him.
I just every comment, every fight, every dispute we had,
right.
I set it aside. I said, you know what? You're just a freaking idiot. But I never told him that.
So your success is... So what you're saying is the secret of your success is that in 1 year you haven't changed a bit.
Oh, God, no. Oh, God, no. No. I
forced everyone else to bend to your will.
Like powder. The movie?
Yeah. Remember how you made that reference a few weeks ago and like at that point
you
got the same response?
Which was blank stares.
Yeah, yeah.
And I believe it's never come out on DVD. So I can't wait.
Well, I understand what you're trying to do is use that same kind of Vulcan mind meld with us here in the studio that you use on the job site.
I'm not driving a tanker truck. I threw in meld, close to melt, which is what happened over the weekend. So anyways... So here we are 1 year later, and he's really, really proud of my work. I know I'm doing really good work. He claims that that I do better work than some of the journeymen he's worked with. Which those journeymen tell me, don't worry, you'll get as weak as we are. I said, okay. So, you know, always the new kids always like try harder, I guess, like that. What else can I tell you? I'm having a good time. I just got a raise Monday.
Congratulations.
Yes.
Very nice.
I got my third raise on Monday from the whole year, you know, from this past year and a month.
Okay.
So everything's going good. And
do you miss dairy?
Oh, God, no. Not
really?
Not in the least. And I cannot believe.
Like when you go shopping, you don't walk by the
dairy. You don't longingly look at the
and
dairy.
And go, oh, man, you should be rotating the stock. And, you know, oh, yeah, look, there's a new yogurt. There's a new yogurt product. Oh, I'm not tasting that.
I cannot believe that I ever did that. That is absolutely amazing to me. I would never in my wildest dreams imagine going back there.
So this feels like a good good choice to you.
It was unbelievably
good.
You would
recommend this to someone else?
No. Uh-uh.
Okay.
I think you have to have a lot of patience. And you have to. You can't be a dick.
Are you pulling Kears out of your mouth?
Something came out of my mouth. But anyways,
well, we have a couple of phone calls of congratulations.
Oh,
from people. We have a call on the Parviz hotline. Area code 206.
Can I say something real quick?
540.
Can I say something real quick?
Yeah, sure.
I got a. Is there any way if I was to ever like maybe next week play you a message that I got? Can we play it on the air?
Of course.
Okay, we can do that. We can do it with the technology of today.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Go on with your thing.
All right. So this is a message that was directed to you. All right. Here we go.
Hey, this is James. I called about some glucose monitors, and I have 5. So I guess that's all you really need to know. Thanks for calling.
So that was James telling you put out a request for glucose monitors.
What was that?
Hey, this is James. Called about some glucose monitors, and I have 5. So I guess that's all you really need to know.
So
that's all you need to know.
That's all you need to know. Here's the thing. I got this message, and I thought, well, maybe he wasn't sure what number he was calling, so I actually recorded the outgoing message.
Son of Easter, my friends, Robin Goldstein here. You've reached the Schnauzer Logic voice mailbox. Leave us a message when you hear the tone, or leave your question for Ask Parviz, and thanks for calling.
So after hearing that, here's what he said.
Hey, this is James. I called about some glucose monitors, and I have 5.
So, big fan.
So, I guess that's all you really need to know. Thanks for calling.
So what do you have to say to James?
I have no idea what's going on. All right, I'm so thoroughly confused.
We got a second message from a good friend, Mark Z.
Son of you stuff, my friend. This is Mark, and I'm driving back from L.A., and I see these power lines that look like guys, you know, and I was thinking, it just made me think of the Transformers theme. I was thinking, oh, that's so cool. And I was at Universal Studios, like, yesterday, I think, which is, I don't know what day it is. It was the 14th. And apparently, there was the Transformer director guy down there that blew up the whole set. And then, of course, they put it back together, like they always do. But I don't know why I'm talking about Brian Cox on the Schnauzer Logic podcast show thing. But I don't know. Maybe I should just tell this and call the cock podcast. I don't know. Take care, guys, and son of you, son.
When is a good fairy going to take off my penis?
So those are directed to me.
Yes.
All right.
So how do you feel?
Thoroughly confused.
Okay, now you know how I feel every week when you open.
I can't look at you now.
Now you know how I feel every week when you open your mouth. Every week when you open your mouth. Now you know how I feel.
Sean,
That whole thing.
Hold
it's
on,
like
Sean.
This show has been redacted. These are like the Nixon tapes. Were they good? Were they bad?
Sean, can you hear the outgoing music?
No.
It's Incredible Hulk.
Oh.
Yeah. See, it would have actually been better radio if you didn't actually say what it was, because it doesn't really matter.
Yes, it does. Because David Banner will move on his never-ending quest from town to town.
To direct another Blossom show?
David Banner did direct.
Yeah, he was a
director.
Yes, he did. He was a director of Blossom.
Really?
Yeah. Lou Ferrigno?
No, the other guy.
No. Bill Bixby?
Bill Bixby, who died of whenever he died. He was a director of Blossom, and who knew that he had a sense of humor? Anybody?
Actually, my memories of Bill Bixby are not from The Hulk, but from an earlier show he did, not Courtship of Eddie's Father. But he was on a short-lived program called The Magician.
Yes, he was.
Where he played a magician who solved crimes and, kind of a Mary Worth thing. He came into situations and made things better.
This music is hilarious.
And he was also on a program with Marriott Hartley called Goodnight Beantown.
Oh, that's right.
Right? But probably best known by those of us who are over the age of 40 for his original portrayal as the nephew on...
Oh, the Munsters.
Sherry, please.
My Favorite Martian?
Thank you.
There we go.
No idea.
Oh, I was way off.
Yes.
But
it actually technically was way off.
I think
off.
He heard the word Eddie.
Yeah.
And he made the association. You got there.
You were way off.
All right. Well, thanks. Sean.
Yes.
Take care, my friend.
You too. I love you, buddy.
I love you too. Sherry, so nice to see you as always.
Thank you. Nice to see you too.
And Robin.
This has been the Parviz Vitali Show. Join us next week. Parviz won't be here, but Parviz's special guest will be John DeCoven.
John DeCoven's coming by next week?
I don't know.
Oh. Robin, I just want to say thank you for having me back. It's been a joy. And
it's been 90 minutes.
Trip.
It's certainly been that much.
And I love you.
Now, are you going to go do
Tell
another?
Tell me you love me.
Are you going to go do
Tell
another
me you
show?
Love me.
You know I love you.
All right.
Are you going off to do another show?
No, I'm not.
Where are you going?
No, I'm not.
Stiff your wife?
Whoa.
Are you?
No, I'm not.
Did she give you like a little special 1 year anniversary?
No.
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 You've been married for how long now? Oh, I know. Wait. Don't tell me you're coming up on an anniversary. You were 5-5-5.
In just a few days.
Just a few days. You're coming right in 2005. I remember you were on the beach at 5:05. Holy crap.
Thank you.
That's a big deal. So this is your second anniversary? Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow. What are you guys doing to celebrate?
Going over mom and dad's house.
No, really.
I swear to God.
No, really.
Yep.
What, are you not going to take her somewhere?
Well,
take her out to a nice meal or surprise her, blindfold her, and then put her in the trunk of your car and then drive her around some bumpy roads and then burlap sack. And
have you been reading my diary?
I was married. I know how it works.
But not after 2 years. Five,
no,
maybe.
Yeah, it takes a good amount of time.
All right.
Good amount of time. Because you got to test the waters. You know what I mean?
See whether she bruises.
Bruises easy.
Yeah. So, but I mean, something special.
No, not this week. This week.
Well, it's a big deal.
Yeah, but her parents had moved, and so they have a huge, big house.
But she's number one.
This is what she wants to do.
Oh, right.
Oh, Parviz.
Oh, yeah. Like, I want to go
hold
to
on,
her
hold
parents'
on. Let me
house?
Tell you something as a woman. She may say that's what she wants, and she'll do that, but what she also wants is... And then beyond that, she also wants...
What do you mean beyond that? What does that mean, beyond that?
Yeah. Well, so I'm
beyond that
to,
is...
No, that's I'm getting at that. Some kind of nice... personal celebration of your wedding anniversary. Doesn't have to be fancy. Does, you know, just something nice.
This music is kind of distracting.
I like this.
All right, you guys. Okay. I love you all. Take care.
All right. Take it easy.
Peace.
How do you say goodbye in Persian?
Farsi. You say it, salam buke.
Sayonara? What?
Salam buke.
Salam buke.
Salam buke.
Salam buke.
Salam buke to you too.
Truthfully, I just made that up. I don't know.
it sounded a little more Polynesian, but what the hell? I'll go with it.
All right, bye.
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 Wow. Wow. Oh my God, you have no hair. When you take the headphones off, don't kiss me. Please don't kiss me. Ow. Oh, don't. Ow. 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 Mommy.
Bye, Parviz.
I, too, must say adieu.
Okay.
See you later, Sean.
Take care.
Bye.
We have microphones all over the studio. Just, no, he's walking from mic to mic saying goodbye. All right, we'll take another break. We're saying goodbye to you two.
Yes, I love you guys.
All right,
love
my
you
friend.
Too, Sean.
Take it easy.
Thanks for you being too. With us. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Hopefully, right. I'll be in the studio.
That would be great. Take care.
You too. Bye bye.
All right, can you hang around for another?
I can hang around.
God bless you. All right, thank we're going to take a break and we'll come back and be talking with Jason Nathanson. How does that sound?
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, sure. All right, listen to Schnauzer Logic, Robin Goldstein, Cherry Stevens, and the whole gang inviting you to please. Stick around.
I think you're a refreshing gay boy.
Schnauzer Logic.
Welcome back. And that was a nice segue.
I like that.
We're 45 minutes into the second hour. Schnauzer Logic. Robin Goldstein, Sherry Stevens, Schnauzer Logic. We're running out of time today, and our good friend Jason Nathanson's getting ready to go to his next gig, so I think we need to get to his music fairly quickly here so we don't waste too much time playing tunage, and we'll get a little Bruce.
Yeah. House in the Hollywood Hills.
All right. What else did you do? Yeah. Okay.
Dollar bills.
Right.
Man came by to hook up my cable TV. We settled in for the
probably
night.
Probably satellite now,
baby,
right?
Oh,
babe.
We switched
sexually
around till
here we go.
At past dawn, there was 57 channels and
the bald Jewish guy in the 1988 VW van.
Yeah, here he is, our good friend Jason Nathanson on his way to work, double shift, all the news, all the time, down in Los Angeles. Son of Vista.
Son of Vista, Robin. How's it going?
It's terrific. So you're going back to work?
We're back to work for the second time today.
Back to make up some more news. My theory is you're just making shit up and nobody knows.
Yeah, pretty much. And I still won't put your name in something.
Why is that? Because there's so many opportunities.
Yeah, well, I just don't like you.
I think the so what about this Washington madam?
Yeah.
We're going to find your name.
That was nowhere in the list of things.
But it sounds interesting.
Yeah, sex and hookers. All right.
So, yeah, go ahead.
Totally.
You got nothing, huh?
I don't.
All right. What are you watching What are you watching on TV this week?
I'm definitely watching Lost. A couple episodes left of that before the season finale.
All right.
And it's actually been good.
Okay.
It's actually been answering some questions. The Sopranos I've been watching, and I got to say, as much as we talked about in the past of giving it time and them giving them creative freedom, it's kind of going a little slow so far this season.
Well, but
I still like it, and I still, you know, I'm still behind it, but it's definitely going a little slow.
Did you download that 7-minute Sopranos synopsis from YouTube?
Yeah, I did watch that.
There you go. That's all you need to know. The problem, you know, I have a lot of friends who started watching The Sopranos because there's only like 3 or 4 episodes left, and they're going, I don't understand it. The Sopranos has been on for 8 seasons, so it's probably been, 50 hours, 60 hours? So imagine if this was a 60-hour movie. Right? Imagine if this was Rocky 25. And you missed the first 24 Rockies. And you came into Rocky 25 and you go, I really don't understand what this big deal is. I mean, it's like, right, of course you don't.
You can't come in. And there's a lot of shows, especially now, that you can't come into the middle of, like Lost. And it's hard for a lot of the networks. Because they're actually trying to stay away from a lot of these serialized shows because it's a lot harder for audiences to come in and it's a lot harder for them to play reruns and actually make money off of them.
Right.
They have to put new stuff in the season. And so, you know, when you have a show like this, sometimes it might be better to go a little shorter. I don't know because, you know, you bring up a very good point. You're basically creating a 50, 60-hour movie.
Right.
And it can't be that good all the time. It can't be. I mean, if it could, movies would be 50 or 60 hours. But, you know, I'm still
right other than Quentin, you mean other than Quentin Tarantino movies?
Yeah. I watched The Wedding Crashers on Monday.
The real Wedding Crashers.
The real Wedding Crashers.
Yeah.
It followed Heroes, which I've been watching Heroes. It's definitely good as well.
All right.
It wasn't hip. It wasn't edgy. It was kind of hokey and jokey. It was, you know,
yeah.
It wasn't something you'd expect from, I don't know, you know, MTV alumni who are supposed to be cutting edge and hip.
I don't think they know how to be hip.
As evidenced by the show.
I think there's a formulaic quality to this. You know what else has been on NBC this summer is Thank God You're Here, which is this kind of improv show. Have you watched any of those?
I haven't. I've been meaning to, and I haven't.
It's horrible. And
it looks
That's why I haven't, because it looks like it's horrible.
It's horrible, and it's an improv show. So the idea is that you have people who are supposed to be experts in improv, and they come onto this show. There's a group of four of them every week, different ones every week, and they walk through a door into a scene that's ongoing, and the first line of dialogue from somebody who's already on the set is, "Thank God you're here." And so it's supposed to be an improv show. And what you realize is that American comedic actors have very poor improv skills. When you look at the show as it's being done in Australia, it's being done in the UK, lots of other countries, because it's one of these shows that gets syndicated all over the place, they know how to go with the flow. But here, American actors are so uncomfortable without a script, maybe they're just choosing the wrong people to be on the show, that they try to force the action to do where it's not normally going. And so everybody just stands. It's like, it's a lot like this show.
I lied. I did watch 5 minutes of it, and I was surprised to see George Takei on there. He's from Star Trek, and he's also the announcer on the Howard Stern Show. He's not really known as a improv comedic actor.
He's not even known as a comedic actor.
Yeah, and so I was surprised to see him on there, and he was horrible because that's not what he does.
Yes, he was.
It's very, very hard to do. I don't know if it, you know. People listening, if they were in improv, in high school.
Well, look at the success of Whose Line Is It Anyway, and how talented those guys.
And those guys were so talented, and that's such a rare talent. Also, I mean, there's very few people.
But wait a second. I mean, in Los Angeles, you have the Groundlings, right?
Sure.
And in Chicago, you have Second City, and you have all of these other. So there is a giant pool. I think it comes back to the problem that producers continually go to names. They felt like they needed to have names on these programs as opposed to having talent, because talent could make the show go, and then the people would become names on the basis of their talent
They underestimate the audience, and they think the audience has to have something that they've seen before rather than quality.
Right.
Quality is definitely what counts. It's got to be quality, or it's not going to be good, and they don't realize that right up front, and I don't understand why.
And why is that?
Because they're stupid.
No, but I mean
really, it really is, because a lot of them don't know what they're doing. They've happened into these jobs, and they get replaced year after year. Most of these executives, they don't stay with the network for that long. It's a rare thing. And so that tells me is that they're not very good at their jobs. If they were good at their jobs, they'd stay longer, and the networks wouldn't be in such flux. I mean, now as it is, networks are going up and down. Whoever's winning one week, it changes from week to week. There's not one network that's doing great because nobody knows what the hell they're doing. And that's not to say I would know what the hell I'm doing, but these people are paid to know what they're doing, and they're not doing a very good job of it.
And what are you paid for?
I'm paid to make up the news, and I'm very good at that.
So what's going to happen? So in about 3 minutes, you're going to be at the station.
Yeah, about 3 minutes, I'm going to be at the station.
And then what's the first thing you do when you get there?
I go in and I see all the news that's already been done so far today, what the reporters have done, what people have been assigned to, what we've been running. And I kind of get an idea of what the big stories are, what's going to hold overnight, what's not going to hold, what's changing, what needs to be assigned. Because at this point, we don't have a huge reporting team right now. So I have to decide what stories need somebody on them. And need to be.
So you might send some. You might send some reporters out tonight.
No, we usually at night, unless there's something very big going on, we don't send reporters out at night. They do the reporting from inside the station.
Okay. Much like our
they
troops,
call it in.
Much like our troops in the green zone.
Yeah.
So wait a second. So that's not really reporting. That's really phoning.
No, it is. I mean, there's no point in sending somebody out on a story at this time at night if there's nowhere to go. I hate when TV sends somebody to stand in front of somebody's house 12 hours after something happened when there's no reason for them to be there. There's no point for them to be at the story. You can do just as much at the station or, you know, trying to phone people and get interviews.
Now, during the day, do you keep the news on in the background? Because you work this morning, you're working tonight, so you have CNN and Fox and MSNBC on multiple TVs so that all day long you're kind of plugged in. You got a police scanner running. You got text messaging coming through all the time. You got your Ouija board turned on. What are you doing?
I don't know that I'm that connected, but I try to keep an eye on what's going on.
Okay.
In the news.
And the hot story down in Los Angeles today is static on your phone. But other than that?
It was the mini riot last night that was
held
by the LAPD.
Mini riot?
Yeah, there was a mini riot.
Is that one of these new sort of smaller hybrid riots that takes less energy and can go for?
It's a lot cuter, a lot friendlier.
Okay,
you want to pat it on the head.
I see the lower carbon footprint.
Sure. There were the immigration rallies and protests yesterday all over the country, and in Los Angeles at MacArthur Park, it got a little bit out of control. And the police, they started throwing bottles and stuff at the police, and police responded with, if you look at the tape, what looks like truly excessive force, firing their non-lethal weapons and beating people with batons. And a lot of reporters got involved in it, and they were kind of thrown around, and their cameras were thrown around. And so a lot of them are taking the angle of the big story of the reporters being attacked. And, you know, the news media loves it more than when it gets involved in the story.
Right.
So that's kind of the big thing going on right now. And,
How do you deal with that? Because you're a radio, you're a talk radio, you're a news radio, you're not, so you don't, pictures can't help you.
Right. Well, so last night what happened was I was on the desk as it happened yesterday. And we had a reporter at the event, and as things started to kind of south, we kept her on longer and longer to kind of describe what was going on, and you could hear the shots fired over her head.
Wow.
And she, you could hear the commotion of the people running around, and she was grabbing people, you know, as they were coming to talk to her. And since she was on the scene, she got to talk to the police chief's communications person. And I'm frantically calling every business that surrounds this park to try to get somebody on the air who is witnessing what's going on at the time. And I happened to get a line inside to one of the rec centers of the park and talk to people who are holed up there with a daycare center and, you know, kind of keeping kids from going out and being beaten by the cops. And, you know, we ran with it. And it was compelling radio, especially since this all happened pretty much from 6:30 to 7, when every local news station here in Los Angeles is in the network news. So radio was the only place this was happening live.
Wow.
So that was pretty cool for us.
Well, we'll let you get to work, right? I mean, you got to go in now, yeah?
I am about 300 yards away.
All right. Well, listen, have a good night and good news.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much for joining us. And
my pleasure. I know I made the show. this 10 minutes has been the best part, I'm sure.
It's pretty
not entirely
it's pretty
untrue.
Fucking close, actually. Short, sweet, and to the point is the way to go, my friend.
Yeah, thank you.
Are you going to be on KSCO tomorrow?
I will not.
Okay.
Because of my work schedule.
Are you going to be updating your blog anytime soon?
That's iffy. We'll see.
It's over a month, right?
I think it probably has been at this point.
Yeah,
randomshow.blogspot.com.
Yeah, just in case people want to go check.
Yeah, I'll throw it out there. Right. I haven't gone there in at least 3 weeks. So.
Well, that's quite a it's quite a ringing endorsement. When are you moving out of your parents' house?
I'm looking for a place right now.
Wow!
So, as soon as I find one,
West Hollywood?
Probably the Valley.
Why did you say shush?
No, I said Sherman Oaks. I was going to say Sherman Oaks.
Okay.
Sherman Oaks, Studio City.
Oh, is that near the station?
No. Well, kind of. I mean, it's only about 16 miles away, which is kind of far for L.A.
Well, for L.A., that could be like an hour.
That's right. It's a lifetime.
It is. It is about an hour in traffic.
All right. But will that bring you closer to your girlfriend?
yeah.
We're just waiting for you here for the sound when you open the car door and it goes ding, 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 ding. There we
That's
go.
Me going in. That's me going in the gate.
All right. Well, listen, we may be losing you. You may be
I'm in the parking.
Thank you. Bye.
That's it, and he's gone.
Are we done? Can we be done, please? We don't have to air this thing, do we?
No.
We don't have
it's
to.
It's all up to you.
We don't have to put it out, do we? We just tell people that we didn't do a show this week.
You know, I think we should.
What, not put it out?
No, put it out.
I know, but I care. Like, people are going to be listening, and then they're going to go, wow, this is crap.
It's
Aren't
not
they going to say it's crap?
No, I don't think so.
Maybe it's me.
You just got off your game in the beginning. You recovered.
Again. I mean, like, week after week, he throws me. He's like every
Maybe we should start with the Parviz show and get it out of his system.
Well, but it's like it's like starting a race, and the first thing he does is he sticks his foot out, and I go tripping, and he goes, hey.
And he laughs. Hey,
I just tripped you again. It's like, yeah, I asked you not to do that at the beginning of the fucking show.
Well, I don't think he'll ever do it again.
That I would put money on. He will.
No, I don't think.
Oh, yes.
He might step over you in other parts of the show.
He doesn't remember that he asked a question to Mort Saul. He doesn't remember that we interviewed Brian Cox.
Well, we can just turn his mic off the first 10 minutes of the show.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for coming.
Well, you're quite welcome. Can I ask about the Hollywood Madam? No, the Washington Madam.
No, we got.
We're done.
We got 50 seconds.
Okay,
we're done. I had. We're done. I gotta have oral surgery. I gotta have more medical shit. I got more stuff. And finally, my doctor, without calling me ever, I got a call today that they're gonna have me do an MRI.
Oh, good.
But nobody ever got in touch with me. Yeah. Oh. So. All right. Well, listen, thanks all for listening. Love you, Mama. Love you, Dad. I miss you both a lot. Show up. Pay attention. Tell the truth. And don't be attached to the outcome. We're over on schnauzerlogic.com. Thanks for all of the nice cards and letters. And we'll talk to you next week. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This is over now, and you just got to deal with it.
I want you to know it's over.
It's over, Johnny. It's over!
It's over, Harvey. I'm sorry. I need to get on with my life.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.
Elvis has left the building.
I'm in my vagina.
When is a good fairy going to take off my penis?